Welcome to MGO HockeyCast 1.9.
If you're looking for last-second goals that crush your heart, I might have the podcast for you. What is the opposite of fun?
There are so many. Misery.
Misery.
Sadness.
Sadness.
Unfun.
Frustration. Okay. Are we kind of there?
Yeah.
A little bit. I feel like it wasn't really fun. Like
it was kind of a bad weekend. All right,
it wasn't great. So Michigan. So Michigan loses two games, both in frustrating fashion, I guess.
Different ways,
yeah. Kind of the same result. Mm-hmm. They give up a goal with 30 seconds left in overtime on Friday and lose. They give up a goal with 30 seconds left on Saturday to tie the game, mm-hmm. and then give up a goal pretty early. And
two goals, actually.
Yeah, and it looked like they were just... It looked like the goal at the end of regulation on Saturday was... it was worth five, because they just... Nothing after that.
Yeah.
Not that fun.
It was fun watching with you, though, Dave.
the social aspect was all right. The hockey side was we just kind of sat there and tried to piece it together for a while. But it was, I would say, not fun. We don't have a fun game to talk about this weekend, so I guess we might as well get to it. There are fun aspects.
I thought so.
Okay, well, we can work those in. So the Friday game was. The first thing I wrote on the board was I didn't write either weekend for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. First of all, both games were late. They started at 9 o'clock.
That's kind
of
cool.
So by the, it was fine. It's just that by the time we got shot charts and everything at the end and we kind of talked and processed the game, it was like after midnight.
Yep.
So super late. Anyway.
What's your bedtime though? Does it matter?
My bedtime?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind.
During Michigan sports season?
Yeah, it's the weekend.
Probably like 2.
Yeah. Whatever.
So. The first thing I wrote down, 9 odd man rushes.
Yeah, Friday might have been the worst defensive game I saw Michigan play this season.
I have to go back and check, but I think that's more than the Quinn Hughes giveaway goal night.
Oh, yeah.
I think there might have been 7 or 8.
Also, that was a different arena. It was a pro arena, and it was a little bit weird, and they're in New York, and also Penn State is very good offensively.
But we made, a big deal about... Uh-huh. How bad the odd man rushes were in that game.
Right.
And then I had 5 in the first period, 2 of which came on Michigan's power play. Yeah. So it's just like, I don't even know where to start to fix this because there's just, I mean, that's just so many. This is like, remember what year was it when we started doing this? Like 14, 15 or 15, 16, when it was just a nightmare and we're like, what even is going on?
Yeah.
It felt like
a regression to that.
Yeah.
So I've been a little bit rough on Tony Granato. I don't really think I think they're a little bit behind where they need to be.
Right. You've said that a few times.
I mean, but I do think that they pre-scouted Michigan pretty well. So
yeah,
they
press
the points. I've seen this happen with teams before, and it can be pretty effective if you have the speed and skill to pull it off. Now, Wisconsin kind of doesn't, but I think they caught Michigan by surprise a little bit.
Okay.
And it worked well for the entire game. I'm not sure why Michigan wasn't able to adjust as well, because I don't really feel like it got better as the game went on. Overall, I would give credit to Wisconsin more than I would say Michigan did something terribly wrong in this sense. Like, it was just a different look.
Even with 9?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Michigan couldn't handle it and they didn't adjust, but I give a lot of credit to Wisconsin for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say that. And I think my summation at the end of that game was, I thought Wisconsin played about as good as they could, because I didn't think they played well as from like a general hockey perspective. I'm not going to look at them in that game and be like, oh, they played a great game, because they didn't. They gave away like 2 goals.
Right.
They gave away
yes.
other stuff. They were sloppy in certain areas.
Right.
But from what I've seen of them and what they have, their production that night was near their ceiling.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially without Keandre Miller.
Well, and... Oh my
Michigan
gosh.
Caught a huge break.
I keep
break
forgetting
without...
that, and it just gets worse.
Michigan caught a huge
fun,
break without him.
There are
playing.
No fun parts of this. I reject. I reject your statement.
Wow.
So
I thought the couple fun things. Jumping ahead to Saturday a little bit, they played really well on Saturday. We'll get to that. But also, Mann played extremely well in the third period. On Friday.
But before, well, go
those
ahead.
Those are two fun things for me this weekend.
So it's interesting you say that, because I did not think he played well for the first 40 to 50 minutes.
He could not find his game in the first two periods. I think it was pretty apparent. Like, the rebound control wasn't there. His footwork was a little bit off, sliding around a little bit too much. I don't think the goals were particularly great. So I think that it was a little bit. I thought they were going to pull him. So remember we were talking.
We were talking about almost should.
Yeah, I thought maybe you come back with Levine in the third period. And they came back with really good goaltending in the third period. So something happened where Mann just kind of found his game. And he was the only reason they didn't lose in regulation, in my opinion.
Yes.
I thought they deserved to lose in regulation in that game with how much trouble Wisconsin was able to cause them defensively. Mann stood on his head a little bit in the third. And I think that's what actually got them to overtime more than anything else. Because they didn't adjust. I thought the big change over the course of the game was Mann adjusting rather than Michigan.
They also had a lead at one point in this game, too. I mean, that happened all weekend, but they came back. They're down 1-0 and then 2-1. Got a couple goals, including a nice power play goal. That was actually, I remember tweeting something about, hey, they have a power play that they ran. Because it was sort of a semi-diagonal from the center of the ice down below the goal crease and a one-touch up to Lockwood near the dot, and he just rifled one in. Great release, but it was something that was put together to move defenders and move the goalie. And I thought that, like, because Michigan sometimes has been very passive in their puck movement, just kind of around the end, and everybody just kind of rotates your vision, you smooth over a little bit, you adjust your lane. But that was quick and fast, and it got them. And that's the kind of stuff that, like when you even if they didn't score, I mean, that's the goal, is to get good puck movement and get a good shot. Definitely. You're not going to hit the net every time, and you're not going to beat the goalie every time, but if you do that enough times, your percentage of scoring is going to go up.
Yeah, and they were pretty effective on that power play.
I think there's one other that they almost had one.
Lambert had one in the third. It was right after a power play, too.
And
right?
That was the power play that was effective.
Did they have two or three this weekend like that?
They had two this weekend. One was last weekend.
Okay. So
three in the last three games.
Right, where they score like right after the end of the power play. So it was a little bit better. I thought the power play was a little bit better.
Yes. Yeah. I will say it was better, yes. And
I don't think they really had great chances in the third period on Friday.
No, other than the Lambert one.
I thought Wisconsin was clearly the better team on Friday.
Yes.
Especially in the third. Like, they took it to Michigan the same way Michigan usually takes it to teams. There's been a few times where we've been, oh, yeah, Michigan really shut them down in the third. You know that Notre Dame game at the beginning of the year?
Right.
Wisconsin made Michigan look like
that. And even the Notre Dame game, the outdoor game, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that we should bring up that may have been true Saturday, but we definitely noticed on Friday, was the ice looked...
Yeah, I thought
slushy.
Really bad on Friday and not quite as bad on Saturday, but a lot of guys were falling. That's how Michigan got their first goal, the Morgan goal.
Yeah.
The guy just bit it behind the net. Like, no fault of his own. It just happened, right?
Yeah.
Winborg gets credit for keeping the forecheck on and making a nice pass, and Morgan made a nice shot.
Yep.
You know, that's a very, very difficult save. So that was a good play. And Michigan made it happen because they put a little pressure on. Now, part of Wisconsin's effectiveness at pressuring the points and pressuring Michigan could have played into, or could have been because the ice was not so good. So Michigan might not have been prepared for that.
I think that's a really good point because it definitely looked different on Saturday. But on Friday, it seemed to catch the ice conditions seemed to catch them. There's a couple times, too, where a couple of those odd man rushes were people falling.
Right.
And just not either finding their skates or knowing where they are in terms of, like, where to next step because of, like, just what they're stepping on.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so and then they came back to get Michigan. And that was, like, when you got to overtime, that was the goal they gave up was, I think it was either an odd man rush or very close to it. Was
the guy coming out of the box again. Two games in a row.
Yeah.
Two games in a row, man. Like, what the heck?
Is that just unlucky?
A couple what the heck moments. I'm going to say what the heck is up with that. And that was one. How do you not learn from that after last week? How does that happen again? That's a big problem. That was very disappointing.
Yeah.
What the heck, man.
Sorry. I agree with you.
That's my hot take.
I don't think that's a hot take.
Okay.
I think that's a legitimate point to look at and be like, you know, fool me once, shame on me, or you, fool me twice.
Should be a conversation on the bench.
Yeah. Well, they might have some time to do that. So, do you have anything else?
No.
About the first game, other than they were...
There was nothing really wild. Like, we had... You know, last weekend, we had that crazy third period ref show.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that on Friday.
I just thought that the defense
was... nothing extraneous. That
was in addition
awful.
To all these odd man rushes, wasn't great getting the puck out. moving, and a lot of that could, some of that could have been ice. You had people falling down. So maybe that mitigates the defense a little bit, but they played better defense the next night. And it just also makes you kind of wonder, okay, well, one, was it the ice, but two, why couldn't you have done that earlier, you know?
There's a lot of reasons. Yeah. It's travel, it's whatever, you know.
For defense, though? Because their offense was still okay. I mean, they generated some chances. They still got four goals. I know a couple of them were giveaways, but, you know, they still put the puck in the net. I mean, you score four times. I mean, not many teams other than maybe like Penn State are expecting to lose that game.
Right.
So, and they got, they were, what, 30 seconds away from 3-on-3 and a guaranteed point. But they got
We should talk about that.
We'll get to that at the end of when we talk about
that's
the second game.
That's pretty staggering when you told me that, actually. that's called a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but then again on Saturday, it was, I remember I was.
Or a teaser. It's a teaser.
Not. I was excited, but not quite as excited, because that was kind of a letdown. Because they hadn't really lost a Friday game in.
Been a while.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had all year, and they just looked. Maybe one of their worst games that they looked. So Saturday, you're kind of like, and we're good, but you can still get 3 points, still get the third seed. The two seed's gone at that point. And this is a point that I thought about. I'm pretty sure it's correct, but obviously they gave up too many goals. But this was the first time since last semester, so all Big Ten season, or the second half of the Big Ten season, where they'd given up 3 goals in both weekend games.
Yes. That was a good observation. I did not know that until you brought that up.
Which will tell you that if you score any goals
probably
over the course of a weekend, you'll at least split, which they've done, except for one weekend when they actually, you know what? They split, or they swept Michigan State, and then they gave 2 away to Wisconsin. So they literally split the entire second half, which is just, you get 89 ties in the first half and then split. So that was a little disappointing, but they came out a little slow. On Saturday, Wisconsin was kind of punch for punch with them. And then once you hit probably mid-second period, Michigan got a power play, didn't score, but it completely changed the game. And after that, Michigan just kind of went on sort of a dominating performance for, I guess, most of the rest of the game.
Yeah, I thought it was Michigan played pretty well overall. I know they lost, but I thought it was a much better defensive effort.
Yeah, defensively for sure.
The first goal was an awesome set play on a dump. So they cross dumped and retrieved out of the corner and caught Summers on a trailer, which is most likely some kind of set play.
Yes, that was Mike Pasta, I think.
Yeah, it was
with the drop pass.
Mike Pasta's our player of the weekend, right?
Him or Lambert?
Yeah,
I thought Lambert had a really nice weekend as well.
I'd say that I could go with that. Yeah.
So that was how they got their first goal. Then they give up two.
Wisconsin gets a couple of squeakers. Is that the right way?
we can get just go with that.
Oh, the goal at the end of the period with... so what was the first goal?
I'm trying to think
of the Kalanick goal.
The first goal was that Hughes screen.
Yeah.
Where he kind of like fades through. He's trying to block
it. Moyle crashes and the guy at the point... Now it's kind of on the board, so it's a pretty off angle.
Yeah.
And it's a shot in from the point, but the... Hughes just kind of casually screened Levine.
Just
kind of
like fades through. Yeah.
That's difficult. It's a bad goal. I don't think any goalie wants to let that in.
Especially, it's just inside the post to your right side.
Yeah. It was frustrating. But you can't have that kind of casual screen, especially like 5 feet out.
And that's kind of, I think that goal really brings to light Michigan's issues. Mm-hmm. Because there's been a lot of talk from different people, and us included, about like the poor goaltending that Michigan's had.
Mm-hmm.
But
their statistics are very poor.
Right.
So there's not, it's really kind of hard to.
And some of the goals, when you watch them, are not great to give up. But
Saturday is a big illustration of
it. But the thing is that you can also have terrible defense and still give up a bad goal. Like, I mean, no one wants to talk about this, but you remember the goal that knocked them out of the Frozen Four last year was just horrible defense because there's the period's coming down and Hughes makes a terrible play and then Levine lets the puck like right through his legs on a not even a hard shot. So
it's a cross ice one timer though.
For the final one?
Yeah, he
was a one timer?
Yeah, it was a one timer.
Well, okay. But it's on the ice
right
in front of him. It's something that you could save if your stick's in the right spot. And so he lets that in and that's not good goaltending.
Right.
But why is someone getting a shot from there at that time? because you have bad defense. So the two things are not mutually exclusive.
No,
you can have both of them. And that, and we've saw that a couple times on Saturday where you have a screener that's just not in the right place defensively, and then your goalie still isn't tracking it probably where you would want him to.
100%. Yeah, the short side on the power play is tough. You don't want to fade short side too much because then you leave the wide side open.
Right.
And so, but when you get a good screen like that, it's really hard.
Yeah, and you're kind of looking and you lose sight of it, and then all of a sudden it's on you. And that's just kind of, it's hard to get really mad at the goalie. It's hard to get really mad at the defenseman, but you're kind of like frustrated at both.
That's kind of where I'm at. It's two broken parts.
Yes.
I think focusing on one and not the other is missing the forest for the trees personally.
Right, because you could have the world's greatest defenseman, but if your goalie's letting in sloppy.
They have the world's greatest college defenseman.
Well, they have...
And Cale Makar are the two most talented defensemen in college hockey, so they basically...
They have the most talented defenseman. I wouldn't say he's the best defenseman. He plays it there at sometimes.
Highest ceiling, talent.
Sure, mm-hmm. But what is he doing just drifting through?
Happens. I mean, it was just a brain fart, so... I think Moyle crashing on that was a little bit bad too, and that's how you end up with a goal. Like it takes usually more than one to tango.
Yeah,
and it took three mistakes on that for Michigan's part. And it was a simple goal for Wisconsin to score. Like Wisconsin probably gets back to the bench and they're laughing about it.
But that's frustrating that it's kind of like having three safety nets and they all failed. And that's the part.
Sometimes
I think
a guy breaks two tackles, man.
Well, I know. Yeah. And then the end of the period one.
That was a very simple zone entry. I think it was 2-on-2 or 3-on-3, and Wisconsin drove wide and kicked it into the dot area. The guy one-timed it, or close to one time, right past Levine. Now it wasn't the best footwork on Levine's part, but at the same time, that Michigan turned a very simple zone entry into a quality scoring chance. It's like more than. It's an A or A-plus scoring chance.
And that was like a semi 4-on-3 from the house.
Yeah.
So that's like a dangerous shot. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the first goal where that shot
puck
is.
Movement as well.
Yeah.
So Levine has to move and readjust himself. It's not moving too far. It's not readjusting yourself too much, but it's still, I mean, that is a really, really bad play by the defense and a pretty bad goal.
So then in the second period, Michigan gets a power play and doesn't do a ton with it, but holds the zone a little bit longer, and right after it they get a goal from Jimmy Lambert off of a really nice kind of curl and then pass from Mike Pastiov.
Nice. Yeah, that was
just wide open back post.
Yep. And Lambert's had a couple like that.
Yep, and that ties the game. Mm-hmm. And then a few minutes later, Will Lockwood comes off the boards in the corner and finds Nick Pasta again, kind of backdoor. Again, unchecked, and he taps in, and Michigan has the lead. And during that time, Michigan kind of dominated play. They kept their zone clean. They kept their house clean. It was kind of what we've sort of been used to from Michigan once they get a lead.
I think when Lockwood scored, and it was one of the better probably plays he's made all year, and he's been good, so this is not to detract. It's just to
he say, has been good.
This is to say how good of a play it was. Is he went in the corner, stole the puck like Datsyuk style, and then made a play out into the front. And that was outstanding.
Got through a couple guys, too.
Yes. And so he made a really nice turn. And that, I think from there, Michigan was really, really good. I would almost say dominant defensively.
They were.
Yeah, they were outstanding. And, they didn't really produce a lot offensively after that point. So it was kind of a really flat game, I thought. But Michigan really shut Wisconsin down.
And that's what we've seen all year, is Michigan gets a lead mid to late in the game, and it's lights out. I mean, we talked about they only give up two goals in one game every weekend. So when they have that game, that's done.
Yep.
And that's essentially where we were at for basically the rest of the second and 99% of the third period.
Right.
Aside from, so do you want to talk about the fight?
I mean, it wasn't really a fight.
It was a brawl.
It was a tussle.
There were
no punches thrown.
We saw the replay of, was it Malone and Moyle?
But
and
they didn't throw.
No, I think Malone wanted to.
I think they both kind of
They did. Probably did.
Yeah, well,
and so everybody gets...
Why not?
What, like half the people get thrown out of this. You get
10-minute
misconducts.
Two 10-minute misconducts, and then Blankenberg got
per
the extra penalty. It started with a Blankenberg cheap shot, and it was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, is stuff like that happens.
And there was a pile of people behind the net.
Yeah.
There was, and there were probably four to five separate shovings and grabbings.
Yeah. I didn't really feel like it was a testy series or game, so to speak.
No.
So it was a little bit surprising that it blew up like that. But, I mean, he can't open the guy. Like, he... It was not a nice play. And usually when you do something like that, you're going to have to pay, and it involves someone trying to punch you in the face. And because this is college hockey, they couldn't really do that. So.
It was the type of play, not the Blankenberg specific, right, but just an incident that kind of worried me, because I was like, Michigan is all but in cruise control on this, and this could just flare everything up. Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin gets a power play. They're not great on it, but Michigan's not great on the kill either. Mm-mm. And I'm just like,
yeah, that was like a pillow fight.
I was like, oh, this is bad. And then Michigan shuts it down. Like, yeah, Wisconsin doesn't get anything. They kill the penalty. We're inside of 5 minutes. We're inside of 3 minutes. We're inside of 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Everything's going well. Wisconsin pulls their goalie.
Started getting a lot of pressure.
And they got pressure. Mm-hmm. But Michigan was in control. They just couldn't get a clear. Finally, a shot comes in, hits Levine in the shoulder, flips up over him, lands on the other side of the crease, and... A guy,
it's hard to say if it was shoulder post or, but it wasn't. I don't think it was post.
It could have been head.
Crossbar, I mean.
Okay.
I don't think it was near side. It went over his shoulder. Those are tough. It was a really, really good shot by the Wisconsin player.
Yep.
And you know, it's a lesson for goalies. It's a harder play for a goalie.
What are you supposed to do if a guy's shooting from that angle? You're just trying to get something on it. He was on his post.
He was on his post, but he wasn't in the right position.
Wasn't angling.
He's a big enough guy where you got to have your shoulder up. And I think posture got a little bit slouched on his posture a little bit. And, you know, you get scored on sometimes like that. It happens if you watch NHL highlights every night. It happens quite a bit. Like, short side goals are not uncommon.
But that wasn't the goal.
No, but the rebound. But like,
yeah.
But it's still that's what caused it. If it hits his shoulder, goes over the net, goes into the crowd, whatever. I mean, it's still a bad goal, and I'm not making excuses for it. You have to be prepared for something like that, because shooters do shoot there.
Yep.
Like, it's a really good spot for shooters to shoot now. Bad angle is not as it's a lot more dangerous than conventional wisdom would think.
Okay.
And he played it pretty poorly. If you do it right, it's impossible to score.
Right.
And he just didn't do it right. And so and then there's a tap in on the rebound.
Right.
Which I mean, that's going to happen on a kind of a scrambly play, but I do think that was a really bad goal. Even though, like I just said, it's a lot harder than it looks. You have to make that save, especially in that situation. And I think this is true, you know, for as well as the defense played, they deserve that save.
And look at the season. Look at what you're playing for. Uh-huh. Look at what's on the line. I mean, that's borderline, like, hot takey stuff. But, like, at a certain point, like, you do just need to make a play.
Yeah.
You do need to just keep the puck out of the net, get your 3 points, and go home.
100%.
And they didn't. And that was the goal that after that looked to be just like, that was it.
That
like,
was a huge
It might have been worth five goals, because they almost give up a goal in the last like 8 seconds that Levine makes a fantastic save.
Yes.
And then in overtime, I mean, we can talk about it.
We'll go to
like,
overtime in a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I said in a second, but you finish your thought.
Well, no, I was going to go.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin walks in and scores one of the worst goals we've seen all season.
Ugh.
Like, right through the five hole, right through the wickets. You can tell Levine was a little bit rattled after the last one.
Yeah.
And then there's this lengthy review where we don't know what is happening. And we can't tell why they're actually reviewing it. And we think it's offsides, but it's clear that nobody's offsides. And then the conclusion that has come to is that there were too many men in the ice, which my initial reaction was, oh, man, Wisconsin's going to have a penalty expire in overtime now, and we're going to give up a goal. Michigan's going to give up a goal on a guy coming out of the box again. But then they didn't give Wisconsin a penalty.
So how do you take a goal off the board because there's too many men and then not give a penalty?
I don't know if what happened was entirely transparent. I haven't looked at like the press clippings or anything, if they actually ended up saying. But it seemed like the worst, because there was no evidence of offsides that we could see.
No.
And the only thing that they showed on the screen was a guy came off the bench onto the ice a smidge early, which
I mean, there were
he didn't play the puck, so I don't understand the rule on that. It makes no sense.
Well, let's walk through this. There were technically six men on the ice,
right?
But
the other guy's a foot from the boards.
They generally give you 5 to 8 feet of leeway.
especially if now in international, like IIHF, you see this in World Juniors, like they're not as flexible on it.
Mm-hmm.
But like North America, it's if you're going to the bench and you don't play the puck, then it's not a big deal. Like if you're cruising into the door, which is what the player was doing,
yeah,
it's no big deal. So I don't know if that was the actual call because it seemed really absurd, but. I mean, we've seen Big Ten and CCHA officiating over the years. They make up stuff as they go. Let's be honest. Nobody's going to argue that they make up stuff.
What did Brian used to call it? Gong show?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So it was probably the worst call I've seen all year, honestly, like for that goal to be disallowed. And it was actually nice at the same time that Michigan got in the next life. But it was such a long review. It was another thing. We had a super long review in overtime.
And we didn't think that
Michigan had already left the ice.
Yeah.
So these players come back, and I was like, I thought that there's possible that some of them were already getting undressed.
Which, to be honest, like that's, I mean, you can't.
Well, they probably get into the room and don't even know the game's still under review.
In my opinion, you can't leave the ice.
Well, they thought that the game was over. No, it's.
But if they're reviewing
it's not communicated. You don't. But well, players were leaving, right? Like.
But that's
chaos because the officials didn't handle it properly.
Sure, but
right?
Whoever's leading the team needs to be like, game's not over. They're reviewing it. No one's going.
I don't
anywhere.
Really know how it works on that sense. So I'm not going to pass
opinion.
Any judgment.
Okay.
But so they have to come back out, and it's flat. So they have to. They continue play. Wisconsin gets
double flat because they're already flat from the goal they just gave up 5 seconds or. A minute and a half ago.
But they got new life.
Yep.
And they're still alive for winning the game because
it's just regular overtime.
Yes. So 3 points are still on the table. They play again, and I don't remember how long it was after the original whistle. It seemed to be almost
not
immediate.
Very long.
Like less than
they
a
scored
minute.
2 minutes in, so it couldn't have been
so
that
long. Wisconsin has a fairly simple zone entry where they cross
cross
the Royal Road. One guy skates from the right to left, which you don't see very often at all.
During a zone entry,
because there are like two or three people there to step up and defend the puck, which does not happen.
Which they try.
And he's able to. I wouldn't say that. He was able to step into the slot ish.
No, it was over. It was over towards us to the side. But you had three guys that like
crosses the whole ice,
kind of put stick on him,
and he's able to
kind of touch him,
pull around, pick up his head, and pick a corner. And Michigan loses again for the second time in the night. Because they had just lost 45 seconds earlier. And that was really discouraging to see that. To see it end like that. At this point, we were all exasperated. Because the end of the regulation goal, the way it had gone all night, the way it had gone on Friday, seeing the goal in overtime, and then just seeing the way that ended, the second goal in overtime, that was pretty tough.
The 2 points that we want to get to after this are, one, everything else went right in the Big Ten for Michigan. Notre Dame and Penn State. I mean, one thing, really. Notre Dame-Penn State split. So it's about as good as you can ask for because 4 points gets you the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan was 30 seconds away from making it to 3-on-3 on Friday night.
Which would have been a tie. Which would have been
at least 1 point, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how that went out. I'm probably one given the way the weekend went. But
at least one.
It's at least one. Mm-hmm. And they're 30 seconds away from winning the game on – probably one clear away from winning the game – on Saturday, which would have been 3 more points, which would have been 4 points, which would have given them the 2 seed. So they finish the series as the 6th seed. Mm-hmm. It couldn't have gone worse for them in terms of where they finish, and they're about a minute away from the 2 seed.
That's really shocking that they went from 2 to 6 in that amount of time.
It's just...
Now, when you think about it,
I mean, that's not... Okay.
College hockey is a sport of incredibly small sample sizes.
Sure.
So it makes sense that something would turn that much. Right? In some ways. This is an extreme case.
Yeah.
Now, it speaks to me in a few ways. It says a few things. Number one, the league was incredibly mediocre after Ohio State.
I think almost including Ohio State, if you ask me. From what I've seen
there, that's a fair observation.
I don't think that they are... I mean, they might be a 2 seed, but I'm not... They're not someone who I'm thinking, oh, that they're going to the Frozen Four.
You can make a reasonable argument for that.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't argue that. Now, that's one. Now, the second thing is Michigan finished the regular season below 500. And losing the way that they did on Friday and Saturday is what a below 500 team does sometimes.
Yep.
And so it speaks a little bit to Michigan's overall performance on the season. I mean, they lost to Vermont. They lost to Merrimack. I don't think it was not, the way they closed
lost
the game.
Lost to State.
The way they closed the game Friday and Saturday is not was not an outlier, unfortunately. So I think that it just kind of happened. Now.
So going into last weekend, Wisconsin was the worst team in the Big Ten.
In pairwise and in... not in the standings, though, right? I think Michigan State
they were right down there in the standings. Right. They were like really close. And but in pairwise, they were. And Michigan did not beat them. They won in 3-on-3 earlier this year.
Right.
But they did not get a three points in a game against Wisconsin in four tries. And that to me is like.
And I don't want to bring this up again, so I'm apologizing.
No, you can.
Kendra Miller didn't play. Their best player did not play.
I brought up JT Barrett in the podcast yesterday, and Seth and Brian went bonkers, even though I was dead on balls accurate as to what I was saying.
About what?
I just compared him to Xavier Simpson and making the right reads all the time.
Oh.
And it was just absolutely aces, and they but they didn't really enjoy hearing JT Barrett. So bringing up Keandre Miller, yeah, you're right.
I don't have anything against Keandre Miller. He's an American.
No.
Strong young American defenseman playing well in the World Juniors.
No, I'm not saying him. I'm saying that.
I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get angry.
No. that point is fine. Like, that's, yeah. You're right. They had all the chances in the world. And that's the thing where I'm getting to the point of where it's just like you look, it's kind of like one of those games or seasons or whatever where you just, your opponent is trying to give it away. They've been trying to give it away. Michigan has had infinite opportunities. We've been talking how they need to sweep all second semester, and they haven't until the state series. And they had a chance, and they didn't. They had a chance, and they didn't. They had a chance, and they didn't. And then, but now we're down to the last weekend, the eighth weekend or whatever, the regular season, and they still have a chance for the two seed, and they don't even need to win both games. They need 4 points.
Yeah.
And it was still there, and they were a minute away. And it's just... You know, that's what this team is.
Should we? Can we talk about that after the break? Because I would like to.
We can talk about it, yes.
I'm sorry, Dave. There won't be any mention of Keandre Miller after the break.
Or JT Barrett.
If you find yourself in the penalty box in Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man arguing your case. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul, the Michigan Law Grad, at 248-924-9458 or visit his website at michiganlawgrad.com.
David.
Yes, Anthony.
Michigan ended up finishing below 500 on the season.
I think we established that, yes.
How do you feel overall?
Disappointed.
Yeah, I am a little bit too.
I mean, we talked a little bit about how many chances they've had, but on top of that, there wasn't enough progress made in certain areas that I wanted there to be progress made. And, you know, they're going to lose a lot on defense, and the special teams still look the same. I was encouraged by some of the younger offensive players that have kind of come along. But disappointed.
I'm in the same boat. I thought they would be a little bit further along. I think they, especially on defense, like what you were saying. And I did not expect them to go below 500 this season, especially if you had told me what the conference would look like at the beginning of the year.
That's very
true. So I vastly overestimated how good the conference would be.
Yes, because you predicted that Michigan was going to finish sixth.
Oh, I did.
Something like that, fifth or sixth. And I said second or third, but maybe fourth is their floor. And honestly, like, they're 1 point from everywhere. So, right. I mean, we're both, you know.
We're both kind of right. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, I mean, I think you said sixth. You said they'd finish ahead of Michigan State, which I did.
Well, I don't think it was for the reasons that I expected.
maybe not.
So we'll touch more on this after the season. I just kind of want to put it out there that they're going into the playoffs, the Big Ten playoffs,
right?
Which is kind of nice. They've changed the system starting last year.
I think they're great.
It's much better than it used to be. I do have issues with overall amount of games because you can be Ohio State and play after this weekend. You will play three games in a span of 3 weeks.
I think that the semifinals should be best of three,
100%, and the finals honestly could be.
In a final, I'm okay with it being one, especially if you're hosting.
The issue that I have is that you end up with a competitive disadvantage for a team where they go into the NCAA tournament after only playing three games in a month, potentially.
I mean, that's true, but that's going to happen to teams that get eliminated early, too.
Right. So let's do a couple predictions.
Okay.
We'll start with the Michigan series last.
Ed Fang will be proud of us.
Hey, I love it. I love Ed Fang.
Okay.
MSU versus Notre Dame. This is the 2-7 matchup.
Yeah.
Ohio State gets a bye.
Right. I mean, I'm it's going to be Notre Dame. I mean, could Michigan State steal a game? Sure, but they're not. I don't think they're winning two in South Bend.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Michigan State has actually improved quite a bit. We've talked about their level of improvement.
Yeah.
Dan Cole actually brought up something where if you look at the last 12 games, they would be like third or fourth in the conference, which is, it's progress for them though.
Because it is.
For where they're coming from, I don't see it as defeat, and I don't see it as such a bad thing to say because no, you're trying to build.
Yeah.
Right?
When
this
you're,
is not.
When you look at where they came from.
Right. They came from the depths of college hockey, which is basically where Wisconsin came from the year before.
Yes.
So there are two Big Ten teams completely rebuilding from.
I mean,
just
Ohio State wasn't great 3 years ago either.
But Rolick's been there for like 6 or 7 years. So he's been there for quite a while.
That's fair.
Dan Cole's got him on the right track. He's doing well. And he deserves, I mean, there is some credit to be had for them that they are like fourth best in the conference in the last 12 games. That's half the season. And it also says to the, as I said earlier, kind of mediocrity of the conference because Michigan blasted them. You know,
yep, that's all true. I would agree with that.
But yeah, Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's better. I think Jeff Jackson will impose his will on Michigan State, so to speak.
The only thing is that if DeRidder plays really well, I think
steal
that,
a game.
Yeah, because I don't think that Notre Dame is great offensively. Mm-hmm. I think that they have to win. We've talked about this. They have to win on the power play, mm-hmm. and they have to win with defense. So if you gift them a goal, you put them in a good position. But yeah. I guess unless you play Penn State, who has their own
right.
defensive issues.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff Jackson would be totally happy winning a game 0-1.
That's some great
That's my hot take.
The original New Jersey Devil.
Yeah. And then we have Wisconsin versus Penn State.
So instead of predicting who's going to win this series, how many total goals are going to be scored?
Ooh, that's a good question. You want to do a bet?
A bet?
Well, I know you don't really gamble. Shoot. Oh, man.
So remember,
what's the over under 15?
So
it's gotta be like 15 and a half
for a series.
Yeah. Two games,
dude. Do you remember the last time they played 2 weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks ago. We should talk about
it
that.
It was, I think there were 10 goals in each game. It was like 8-2
so
and then 7-3.
Over under would be 17 and a half. Then would you take the over?
I would say that I would be surprised if there were not seven goals in every game.
You think it would be, so the over under would be either 13 and a half or 14 and a half or like 20 and a half then, if it was a 3-game series.
Yeah, I kind of...
I'd go over on,
I kind
go
of
over
think,
on that.
I think that Penn State will probably sweep them.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's tough to go
I'm not going to say his name, but Wisconsin's American defenseman, who is really good, will be back, is supposed to be back for this series, so it could help.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Penn State's tough, and I remember last year, although, of course, you know, Wisconsin's coming off 3 wins in the last 4 games. They've looked good.
Mm-hmm.
But Penn State hosted Minnesota last year mm-hmm. in the first round and just rocked them, I think. And
we'll see.
It was a different series. I'm leaning Penn State. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be just goals everywhere, though.
I will say that, you know, we've talked about disappointment in Michigan overall.
Yeah.
Penn State is more disappointing to me. I would be really disappointed if I was a Penn State fan.
I just think this is what around their ceiling as a program. Unless you're going to get...
Well, I agree. Yeah.
Unless you're going to get somebody else that's going to come in and play some defense. The problem is that I don't think that whoever does that is going to have even remotely close to as dynamic kind of offense. And when you're in the position that Penn State is, where you're trying to play catch up in a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. like you're going to pick something that is going to try to attract as much as you can. And being college hockey Oklahoma seems like...
I think for the home ice advantage that they have,
yeah,
I don't think you should build your team like that. You should be able to play some defense at some point.
Well, I think that, yes, I think that. But, I mean, Oklahoma could be better on defense than football. They may never be Alabama.
That's kind of a choice
But they could be
made.
Better.
Right, it's a choice they've made.
And I think that Penn State can be better
right.
because I don't think the problem is that they don't have even decent defensemen. I think the mm-hmm. problem is that, like, they just make a lot of mistakes.
It's a tough place to recruit to also.
That's
what you're saying is the ceiling of the program. They've lost Cooley to OHL. They lost Goldowski to OHL. And then they lost a goalie recently, which sucks for them because they kind of need one.
Does it matter? I mean, I don't know.
It's tough for recruiting though because your question is, do you want to go live in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania? And we've both been to State College.
We have both been to State College on one really famous trip. So, yeah, I just I think that Penn State's a fun team that will could find their way into the tournament if they get hot, but eventually they're going to hit a team that's well organized, and all of a sudden,
you think Penn State wins
the series? Probably, yeah.
I think so too.
I think they're a better team.
Yeah. Okay.
Because for even for Wisconsin, mm-hmm. what they do well, they still have too many gaffes.
Right.
I mean, they gifted goals to Michigan left and right. Mm-hmm. They also were shut down by Michigan. So it's not like they're like oozing offensive talent.
I don't think they have the greatest goaltending either.
Right. And so if Penn State gets hot to start and all of a sudden you get a couple goals, I mean, Wisconsin's going to have to come out of their shell a little bit and it's going to be a firework show.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
So the Michigan-Minnesota series. I went back and pulled some numbers.
Okay.
From the season series.
What did you find?
Hang on 1 second. Now, the record was, I believe, 2 wins, 1 tie, and 1 loss in favor of Minnesota.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Goals were even.
I think Michigan got the extra point in the tie, so I think it was... No, Michigan got 2 points, so I think they ended up with like 5 points. So 7-5, yeah.
Okay. So goals were even, 12 apiece for the season series.
Okay.
Shots were 60% in favor of Michigan. So Michigan pretty much dominated possession and shots.
Well, as we look on the board here... If you're looking at Corsi, Michigan is 9th in the country. Huh. Minnesota is 55th.
That's strange.
That's really low.
Yeah. I mean, it's makes some sense for them. I mean, they're basically a 500 team. Minnesota. They're 21st pairwise. They're basically Michigan's neighbor in pairwise and record and all this
sure.
stuff.
Sure. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. saying that like Corsi is the end-all be-all or anything, mm-hmm. but 55th? I mean, RPI is ahead of them. Holy Cross, Colgate, Canisius. I mean, I'm just starting to name teams. The only teams that they're better than, that they have more percentage of the puck than, is Alaska Anchorage, UNO, Alaska Fairbanks, St. Lawrence, and Alabama Huntsville.
So I think that with the goals being even and shot percentage, shot share and Corsi share being so drastically bad in Michigan's favor, 60% and Corsi was 65%.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the... Minnesota was the 2000, what, the Eichel draft year Sabres when Michigan was playing against them.
Like,
it's just they cave Minnesota in. The biggest difference was Minnesota was 27% on the power play in the four games.
Yeah, well, they're
4 for 15.
24 on the year.
Okay. 24%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much close.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan was 0 for 20. In the season series.
That was the last game was the game that they were down 3-0, came back tied at 3, and had 3 minutes of 5-on-3, and then about two other 5-on-4s. And not only didn't score, but they looked like poo.
Yeah.
Trying it, too.
So either Minnesota's doing something really good, or just Michigan's caught a bad streak against them. I think this is actually a pretty good matchup for Michigan.
Just in an isolated hockey game, I would agree.
Robson was player of the series when they were at Minnesota a couple weeks ago.
And he's been solid.
Yeah, he's been pretty good for them.
He's at a 9.8 or 9.18 save percentage, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's fine.
It's good when you're getting caved in like they are.
Yeah, and we've noticed that their defense hasn't been...
No.
And that's probably why all the shots are coming at them.
Right. I feel like Minnesota is... What you would... So they have a bunch of draft picks, but none of them are higher than like 83rd overall.
Yeah, so they're all like 4th, 5th round.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are all fringe guys. They have a couple 3rd rounders. They're kind of what Michigan would look like without Quinn Hughes in some sense for me, like in a way.
Yeah, I think that
if
Michigan's...
If there was a little bit more overall buy into the system.
I still think Michigan's defense is probably... I don't even know. I was going to say I thought it was a little better, but... It's so inconsistent. That's right. The problem with Michigan's defense.
I think they're very similar teams in some sense.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, if I had to pick I think Michigan can win the series. I definitely do.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a pretty darn good matchup when I looked at the numbers. I didn't realize how much Michigan had dominated possession.
In your mind, what is the one thing... Or what is the driving factor in this series?
Focus. And I hate to sound like...
Okay. Well, you're not...
I hate to sound like an ESPN talking head.
You're right. I was going to say, how is this series played? Is it at even strength, or are there a lot of power plays? Because if there's a lot...
There's no way to know. It's Big Ten officiating.
But right.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that if there's very few penalties, I think it definitely favors Michigan. And I think if it's going to be a penalty fest and you're going to have both teams getting power play opportunities, I think Minnesota is in a much better position.
Yes. I just think overall their special teams are going to be much
better. Their special teams way better than Michigan's. Yeah. I mean, we have that written down, 24% to 16% on power plays, and 83, which isn't great, but it's
passable.
Good. It's passable, correct. And Michigan's is 79, which is just, it's not quite as bad as it was last year, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to give them chances, and that's how they score their goals. I mean, it's like Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And that's the theory. And so we're kind of tying this whole Big Ten thing together, is there's not a lot of talent in the Big Ten. There's not a lot of offense in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. So how do you need to score your goals when you have the man advantage?
Yeah, special teams.
And Notre Dame's good at that. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's good at that. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's good at that. Mm-hmm. That's why they're the 1, 2, and 3 teams in the Big Ten. Michigan is not good at that. Mm-hmm. And that is why they're sitting in sixth.
Michigan State's also really good at that, but they have so many other problems they can't help themselves.
They have one line.
Right, exactly.
So when that line does well.
But yeah, I agree overall. I think, you know, when you look at it like that, it's probably the differentiator. Talent level's pretty flat. I think there were only two first-round picks. Well, Michigan's got two first-round picks. There's only 11 in the country. I don't know if there are any other first-round picks in the entire Big Ten.
I mean, I don't remember seeing any. Is Keandre Miller?
Oh, he was, yeah. You just said his name. I did. I was not trying to get you
You're
to say
Brian
that.
You're going Brian on me
I
here.
I was not trying to get you to say that. but, you know, I think I agree with you. I think the talent level is a little bit, it's a little flat. And it's flat all over hockey this year.
I mean, we were talking about this. I texted you probably too late because my bedtime is too late during sports season. But if you look up and down the teams that are going to be in the tournament this year, I mean, unless some drastic things happen in the next few weeks, or I'm sorry, not in the tournament, out of the tournament.
Mm-hmm. It's all the power schools.
Michigan, Notre Dame, Minnesota, potentially Penn State,
BC, BU,
North Dakota, Colorado College, all these teams that have national titles and that are like just teams that you pay attention to and you look in the bracket, oh, where's this team, where's this team? None of them are going to be there.
That's a preview for our postseason podcast.
Yeah. And then
we're going to talk about it.
We'll have one of those at least. But then the other thing is you look at like the leading scorers and goal scorers. And they're like ones from Canisius, ones from like Dartmouth or...
And Tanner Hirose.
Well, yeah, Michigan State is the guy that's leading it, but it's a bunch of Quinnipiac has one on there. And it's like, where are these guys? These guys have got to be all over Agers.
Right. Who knows?
So...
should we go back to the series?
Sure, that's fine.
I think... what's your pick?
Ugh. I agree with you on the matchups. I think it favors Michigan as long as they don't take too many penalties. It'll be interesting to see how Minnesota comes out if they think they have a shot at getting a pairwise spot, because I think that they're right on the fringe that if they win this series and they win the next series, they're going to be close.
Hmm. I did not know that.
I think they're they're 21st.
Yeah.
So they're six spots away.
Six or seven, yeah.
Yeah. So if, but I'll tell you what, after watching Michigan play and finding a way to continuously give away chance after chance after chance after people are giving them a chance to get the 2 seed, to win series, to score goals, all this stuff, I would be shocked if they were able to come away with 2 wins. Can they get a win? Yeah, I think they could get a win. Will they get 2? I don't think they're consistent enough.
So here's a question I've been wanting to ask you.
How long have you been saving this?
Well, since I thought of it earlier today.
Okay.
Will Quinn Hughes be playing for Vancouver on Wednesday the 14th against the New York Rangers?
Oh, meaning Michigan's out of the Big Ten tournament? Yeah. I mean, if he can get to New York and get...
Vancouver.
Is it in Vancouver?
It's in Vancouver.
Okay, it's in Vancouver.
10 p.m.
If he can get out there and processed or whatever it needs to be for him to all that stuff to happen, my answer is probably.
I think that I agree with you. Yeah. I'm not optimistic on the weekend. But I do think this is a very favorable match. Like, if you had to pick at the potential matchups, I would have taken this one.
Well, we're getting into our hot takes because it's the end of the show. But like, I thought that Wisconsin was a nice matchup for Michigan when we previewed it. I said there's no way they don't get 3 or 4 points, and they found a way to give them away with 30 seconds in each of those games. And that's the kind of thing that just. You can lay all the things down and point the arrows and stuff like we've been doing. But at the end of the day, is Michigan going to execute? Are they going to stay consistent? Are they going to stay focused to beat a team that they have as much, if not more, talent than? I'll also say that, you know, Robson's good enough to steal a game or two.
Yes.
And Michigan, I mean, they're going to need a great performance from... It's got to be man. I mean, I don't know. It could be either, but I think that...
I think that with... the way that things broke down last weekend and the way the goalie struggled, except the goaltending was subpar except for the third period of the first game.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
And with Wisconsin having all that tape and all that familiarity and Michigan having to repair the goalie psyche in a week and play the exact same team in the exact same building, I think that the Minnesota series is a little bit more friendly because it's close, right? I mean, there's like six spots pairwise different.
Yeah, no.
Splitting hairs. But I think for those reasons, I think I'd rather see Minnesota.
Than Wisconsin?
Especially given like seeing the numbers on the season between Michigan and Minnesota, because Michigan's pretty much controlled a lot of those games.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think Michigan's going to get like roasted. I mean, they haven't been in any of the games.
Yeah.
But it takes some, I don't know, gumption, I guess, to kind of get through those last 30 seconds to close out a game to, you know, and that's something that, you know, they're getting beat by, they can't check a guy coming out of the penalty box.
Right.
You know, they're getting beat because the goalie just doesn't have the right posture and they can't clear the puck. You know, they had chance to clear the puck to get it down to 10 seconds or whatever, and they didn't clear it. You know, things like that happen. And
they get beat because a defenseman just mindlessly drifts in front of the goalie.
Twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened on the fourth goal too. I mean, we never talked about that, but that was Ciccone was the first thing you said to me after like the bad goal was like, you know, Ciccone's gap control has
not been great.
No. And so when you're doing things like that enough, you can have good matchups and still gaff it away.
Right.
So,
well, I'm sorry we had
it. So
it's kind of a depressing segment.
Kind of a downer. Well, hey, I tried to warn everybody at the beginning. This is not going to be fun.
It is fun doing this with you, and I've enjoyed it this season, and I look forward to next week or the week after, whatever.
I've enjoyed the hockey experience. I feel like I've learned a lot.
I've learned a lot too.
Picked up a little bit. Yeah. I know you're the expert.
I am not the expert. I try.
MGO hockey expert.
I think what I've enjoyed about doing this is, number one, Brian gave us free a lot of autonomy.
He did.
Credit to Brian. I really appreciate that.
Yep.
Two is we've been friends and we had a good time doing this together.
I agree with
really
that. I
appreciate that. And I've learned a lot too, because seeing the game up from the press box rather than in our nice seats, because we do have good seats typically. It's a lot different. And I really like it.
It changes what you see on the ice.
I really wish, I think this is kind of an aside, and I guess we'll end the podcast after this.
Okay.
But with the coming of streaming for all sports, being able to choose your camera angle is probably not too far away. And I really like the idea of being able to watch it from a little bit higher, because I really like watching from the press box.
It'd be like playing video games when you can
set my camera as high as I can on those games. So I want to see the whole field. You know, you get to see defensemen on the breakout. You get to see, you know, you get to see action on the other blue line. And I think it's really useful. It's stuff you don't see on television.
That's true.
So as someone who I really respect in the hockey world recently said to me, seeing one game live is like seeing five on TV. Especially for player evaluations, and I kind of agree with that.
All right. We'll be back either way next week, because it'll be our 10th, and it'll either be an exciting recap and a look forward to the semifinals, or it'll be the beginning of the postseason breakdown. We may even do another one after some things get put together. But thanks for sticking with us. Sorry it wasn't fun. Hopefully Michigan closes some things out a little better this weekend, and we end up still alive next week.
Yeah. This has been MGO HockeyCast 1.9 with David Nasternak. I am Anthony Ciotti, and I also hope that this was the last time I ever have to explain Michigan giving up two goals in one overtime.